welcome to Jumpstart Weekly, the manga podcast where every week we read every chapter of Shonen Jump on Viz's website, as well as another collected volume of manga. I'm your host, Jeremy.
And I'm your host, Kevin.
And today we read volume 43 of Haikyuu.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, though, we have Shonen Jump. What did you think of Shonen Jump this week, Kevin, as we both read it frantically in ideal situations?
Yes. Mostly pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I have... It didn't end up being as sharp a divide as it was most of while I was reading it, but I will agree with you, most of it was really good. I have something very low that I thought was pretty good. I was just disappointed in one specific aspect of it, so mm-hmm. It went low. But not everything below it was trash, but then there's, for a while I was ranking, before I found some mid stuff at the back of a book, everything below it was trash.
Yep.
Shall we start off with One Piece chapter 1133, Nice Things? I wanted to know how you feel about this, Kevin, because the online response has been very one way, and I've seen a little bit, I've seen a few people talking about the way I feel about this chapter, but even they seem not to be criticizing the chapter so much as the setup. So what did you think of this chapter, Kevin?
I actually really liked this
chapter. What everyone says. So yeah. Everyone but me really liked this chapter.
Which is totally fine. I get it, especially with the whole setup of, because we had, what was that? Two or three chapters ago, we had the news that Saul has fallen and can't get up.
Yeah, and remembering that that's how he met Robin, I thought this was... Like, I thought that diffusion of drama was fine.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a criticism of that so much as it's the thing that I think a lot of people are kind of over because the reveal was so long ago about Saul being alive.
Mm-hmm.
It makes this reunion, as sweet as it is, feel very cheap to me. And I've seen some people talk about that, but even they are like, oh, yeah, but this chapter was real good, even though that is broadly true.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's kind of all I could think of the first time I was reading this chapter.
Mm-hmm.
The second time, there's a detail at the end that's it's not a small detail, so you may have noticed, but I didn't on my first reading, that everybody's crying but Luffy, who is smiling because he doesn't do that sort of thing.
Yes, well, and also he's... You know, everyone else is crying tears of joy, and he's just happy.
He's
so
laughing.
that's why he's.
It's very Roger. It's very him on the gallows.
Yes,
I did. I like that detail a lot.
Yeah, I know. I really liked it. I really liked it too. I liked everyone else has turned away and is crying, and Luffy's the only one sitting there with a smile on his face, seeing these two friends reunite.
Yeah, I do like all of the Luffy things because, like, it's really weird. The transition of them being like, let's have a party, and Robin's like, I'm going to go see Saul is really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I read it in the initial translation. I was like, that's weird. Maybe it'll be better in the official for a change. And it was basically the same. And I'm like, this is just weird paneling,
yep.
I guess. That's very strange for One Piece.
Yep.
But I also like Luffy be like, no, you have to thank everyone who's helped out your crew. Which... seems very Luffy, but I'm trying to think of, like, it's not, I don't want to say it seems inconsistent, because that's not the criticism I want to label. It just seems like this should have happened before it hasn't. And I'm not, like, going through the series and I can't find an example, so maybe it just genuinely hasn't.
I honestly think it just genuinely hasn't, because, like, I'm trying to think of most of the, like, mentor figures to his crewmates are dead,
Or Luffy met them around the same time, like Zeph, or...
Yeah. So, like, you know, Luffy did thank Zeph for Sanji, but, you know, I'm thinking, like, Tom was dead.
Saul was dead, too, to be fair.
Saul was dead, but now he's not, so he's like, well, you know, now I actually have a chance to do it. Most of the other people he's thanked before.
Yeah. No, you're right. It just seems odd to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, again, the thing I noticed on second reading, not on first reading. Mm-hmm. Like, huh. But yeah, like I said, I am more down on this chapter than I think everybody else on the internet, because even when I've seen this criticism, it is very broad.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it's just me, it seems like. So here I am.
Meh. That happens. But yeah, I really enjoyed it.
May also be because, you know, it's the holidays. I've been hanging out with my brothers a lot, who both have tattoos,
mm-hmm.
and I would never get a tattoo. But if mm-hmm. I did, it would be Nico Robin saying she wants to live. So...
Yeah, that's a good scene.
There's just not room on my body, except on my back, and no one wants to see that on my back.
It just reminded me of, I watch AMV every now and again of the sad parts in, or like the emotional bits in One Piece.
Yeah.
The title is, it's just an anime, which I love, and that's one of the big ones is Robin saying that she wants to live.
That's like the big one in all of shonen manga.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the best part of that arc, but it is the most emotional part.
Yeah.
And I've said many times that's the best arc in the history of shonen manga, so.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Saul's back. Yay.
Yep, Saul's back. Yay. Robin got to meet with him again. We've had the new giant pirates meet up with the giant pirates and are going to have a big feast with everybody, so.
Yeah, the one other detail I liked in this chapter is Gert being like, yeah, I used to be friends with Big Mom, but then she did that terrible no-good thing that she did. Mm-hmm. And I am kind of hoping we're going to find out what that is, although I don't know what role Big Mom could possibly serve in the story going forward, so I don't know that we need to.
Yeah.
But that is a connection I like.
Yes.
Next up, we have Kagurabachi Chapter 60, Resurrection, which I find to be a very interesting chapter of Kagurabachi because it did a lot of stuff that I'm like, ah, I wish Kagurabachi did more of this. This is pretty good shonen anime. Mm-hmm. And then it also did the thing where it can't tell a story properly and does things in very weird orders mm-hmm. that mess with my emotion. Because we were talking last week about how Chihiro is alive, obviously. But like the fact that he actually died is kind of cool and meaningful for like lore reasons in this.
Yeah.
It adds an element. But it's super weird that we knew he was alive before we knew he was dead.
Yes. Also, the you died, so the contact broke. Oh, that sucks. Anyway, here's my sword.
Yeah, that's also a bit weird. I do like what they're doing there because
same.
It's a shonen moment of he has to recommit to it and the villain has like given him a way out. I think that all works, but you are right. It is weird drama arise of like there's no real consequence to it at all.
Yeah. Well, and it's also I think
there will be consequences for him choosing to continue when he has a way out, so it's not completely emotionally dead, but it is odd.
I think it also would have landed better if that was the end of the chapter was him being reoffered the sword. You know what I mean?
I agree. That dramatic moment so that we hang on it, so it feels like he's taking a while to make this decision.
Correct.
Because even if he does it immediately, we, the audience, are spending a week
yes.
where we're considering it. I agree with that. I also really think it should not have been revealed he was alive last chapter. I think that's the biggest thing. Like,
yeah.
I, as a shonen manga reader, would not have thought he was dead. But I think you can keep that cliffhanger a week.
Yeah.
Like, that, it won't spoil. Going back to the Saul thing, there's a certain amount of time you can let the audience think someone's dead before it's cheap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a chapter would have been fine.
Yeah, absolutely. But I did like a lot of the stuff. I like the fact that the ninjas are going to go fight him, which is very interesting with the whole, we were like, the reason we could fight with him is we could completely remove our presence, which makes us also the best people to fight him because he can't see us either.
Yeah. There is a sort of weirdness with new characters in Kagurabachi. I want like the flame bone lady to come back so mm-hmm. that I can get invested in these characters and feel like I'm not wasting my time.
Yep.
Because the dramatic death of the other swordsman, like, it's not like, oh man, that's terrible. Mm-hmm. But I did like that character and wanted him to stick around and did not feel like, oh no, he's dead. I feel sad. I felt like, oh man, that's kind of a waste of potential.
Yeah.
And it's fine to do that sometimes. But like I said, I want somebody to come back so I feel okay getting invested.
Yes. Well, and we also have the problem of the guy, the sorcerer, I forget his name now, but the sorcerer guy that we're kind of invested in is now on sick leave. So.
Yeah, I totally trust him to come back in as the cavalry.
Correct.
At some point, though. So I'm not as worried about him, but
I'm not worried. I'm not worried either, but we do have this. It's just like, well, the one other guy that I was invested in is now not here, and I don't have any of the other characters here either. So now it feels like, all right, and now it's ninja adventure time for a bit.
Come on, grab your ninja friends. I thought I was going to have something better by the time I got to that lyric. I did not. Anything else you want to say about Kagurabachi, Kevin?
Nope.
That'll take us to Hunter x Hunter number 410, Negotiation Part 4. I was alluding to there being one chapter this week that I just had a problem with, and mm-hmm. it was Hunter x Hunter
That's fair.
410. I think it's also taking AoE damage from the fact that on Sunday, when I was like, I have no time to read manga today, I wonder if there's any news on the Hunter x Hunter hiatus. I'll Google it. It's like, this is the last chapter of Hunter x Hunter for a while. I'm like, yep, that sounds exactly right. My problem with this chapter, actually, though, is that we talked about how much we enjoyed the last chapter,
mm-hmm.
and while that's still true, I'm really disappointed in the reason she said yes.
Yeah, it turns it a bit on its head. Like, I honestly liked the idea that
she had some reason that she had been convinced. yeah. whether she was playing an angle or she was genuinely sympathetic, I also thought that was really cool, like we talked about last week. And it turns out, no, it's mind control.
Yeah, especially because we had that whole bit where she was answering questions for a bit and we didn't see what those questions and answers were. So it's like, that's the perfect thing to be like, no, you legitimately convinced me that I wanted to do this.
Yeah, and the fact that it's not that is very disappointing to
me. Although it is cool to have the Zodiac dealing with the guy that's taken over one of the... Or no, is it... He's taken over the prince's body, or...
Yeah, I don't know what the details are there. He would be better suited.
Yeah, but the... Because the guy's like, I have 24 hours to kill the rest of the princes or whatever.
I also found that cool, but that's where the hiatus stuff really hurts. Because that's setting up the next thing, and I will not remember...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, people are like, this hiatus might be much shorter. I'm like, I hope so, but citation needed.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I still enjoyed Hunter x Hunter. Mm-hmm. I'm being very negative on it. But for a while, it was the bottom of my ranking list.
Fair.
So, that's not technically true. But next, we have Sakamoto Days, Days 193. Tenkyu versus Shin. It's a short chapter, and it's a fight chapter. So, while it's pretty cool, I enjoyed reading it. There's not much I have to say on it.
Yeah, nothing...
We also didn't pick up the cliffhanger from last week.
Correct.
Which is too bad, in my opinion.
Yeah, but for the most part, it's like, all right, this was pretty cool. I do want to say, I guess there must have been some glitch or something with Viz, because I specifically remember several chapters saying that we weren't getting them next week.
Yeah.
And we only missed Elusive Samurai.
I think this was one of them, and I think it might have been planned to be not in, and they rushed out a chapter. I wonder if it was a Viz had wrong information on this one in particular.
And that's what I kind of meant by glitch. Like, I didn't want to be like, you know, they purposely lied to me. It's just like, I was expecting, like, a couple of chapters to not be here, and they were, so that was weird.
I also wonder if they were planning some holiday break stuff, like, because they always move the English Shonen Jump holiday break is not the same as the Japanese one.
Correct.
They just miss the same number of weeks and end up lining up.
Yeah.
So I also wonder if maybe some translators were not gonna do it this week or something. I don't have any, that's pure speculation on my part.
Yep.
But yeah, I also was like, oh, there's more than I remember they're gonna be.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Undead Unluck number 234, Know All Along. What did you think of Undead Unluck this week, Kevin?
This was fairly good. I do like all the emotional beats, and I like the one guy being like, ha, I'm going to take your love from you, and Fuku just immediately going like, okay, that's cool, I'll just go make more.
I also agree with you. This chapter was pretty good. It's kind of the opposite of Hunter x Hunter when I was ranking it kept being higher than things I didn't expect it to, and it ended up pretty high. Because I also have a lot of criticisms of this. In particular, I've talked about this the entire arc, but it feels like it's moving very fast. It's asterisk neutral. Because like the love stake is interesting, but it's just thrown here out of nowhere and pretty much no-sold.
Yep.
Which is, it would be a lot more effective if we knew this was a stake all along and Fuku is making this declaration. Some of the stuff Moon is doing seems like we don't know what it is, and not in like a, ooh, I wonder what that is sort of way, but you know, just like, that's kind of confusing sort of way.
Yeah.
But the idea of them all using their powers to do open heart surgery in the middle of a shonen battle against the sun is pretty cool.
Yeah, it is.
Unfortunately, it's more cool conceptually than I think is depicted on page.
Yeah.
But it also is still pretty cool.
Yes, I can appreciate it, so I did like it.
Next up, we have Kanabanashi Story 138, Chance to Shine. Kevin, this flashback will continue until morale improves.
Yep.
To be fair, this is probably the best chapter in the flashback so far. It had an emotional weight to it.
I might have liked last week's better.
Okay, I did not.
That's fair.
But I want out of it. I want to eject. Please, Oda, I don't care about Lin Lin anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
Next up, we have Mission Year Zakura Family Mission 254. Mission's End. The mission ends, Kevin.
Yep. Mission complete. It's a good line, but... It's good. It is fine.
I like the ambiguity on if Taiyo is dead or not, but see earlier statement about how... I can't remember the main character of Kagurabachi's name all of a sudden. I've said it this podcast.
Chihiro.
Chihiro. I want to say Kyuichiro. I'm like, that's a character in Mission Yosakura Family who looks nothing like Chihiro, but see earlier statement about how he's not dead.
Yep. Although I did like the, you told your family you would live on. I will. Through, like... There are bits and pieces of, I will, like the, not the literal sense, but, I will in the figurative sense, I'll be in their hearts.
I was just like, I will. My dad will build a robot me. And then some guy's kid from the future will come and whip my ass in front of my own dad. Last but not least, we have blue box number 176. I want to be in a relationship, which is also good, but I don't know what I have to say about it.
So just to slightly compare this to Hema 10, because they were both kind of the romance-y things, I feel like blue box had a bit more emotional weight to it.
For sure.
With the whole Chinatsu is like kind of pissed that her friend, she was like, so I've been practicing basketball this whole time, and she took a break for 4 years and came back and is doing better than me and has met some fancy basketball player and everything's working out great.
Oh, versus, no, I'm Rock Lee and she's Sasuke.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and she comes over, then Taiki just like cheers her up and she's like, all right, cool, thanks. This is why, you know, this is one of the reasons I like you. And so, like, I liked that moment.
Anything else you want to say about it?
Nope.
That will take us into Jump Card then. Jump Card is the segment where we talk about everything in Shonen Jump and rank it from our least favorite on up. What do you have at number 20, Kev?
Me and Robocop.
Same. I knew who the traitor was before I read a page.
Yep. It was a traitor. Uh-huh. It's Robocop. Like, it would have been funny. Like, honestly, I would have laughed harder if, because clearly it's Robocop, it's always Robocop. It would have been funny if everyone else was like, Robocop, stop doing this. What do you mean I'm not doing it? It's just like, we know you. I've been living with you for years.
Yep. That's the current status of my relationship to me and Roboco.
Yep.
I've been living with it for years. What do you have at 19?
That's right, Shinobi Undercover.
That's fair. I liked it a little bit more this week. Mostly it's stuff I like less than it.
Fair.
I think. I have Kill Blue at 19.
That is totally fair.
Interminable, and this whole mini arc pretty useless.
That's completely fair.
Which, and it's over now.
Yes.
And I just want to play the Strong Bad Teen Girl Squad clip of, it's over! That's how I feel about it.
Yep.
What do you have at 18?
18 is where I have Nues.
It's very cliche.
Yes.
I have Astro Royale here, just because
fair.
I found like the transition between these two arcs really awkward and rushed.
Yeah.
I don't actually think Astro Royale is getting canceled, but it almost had that sort of vibe to it.
It
like,
definitely
and now
could...
we're going to recap what would have happened if I got more chapters.
It definitely felt like it could have gone that way when it's like, you need to collect the 6 Daybreak Ore. I'm like, oh, shit.
When God is like, get some Dragon Balls, noob.
But then it just transitioned to, okay, no, that's the we're being given the quest. Let's go.
Yeah. Also, like, the quest is coming from God, being like, you need some Dragon Balls.
But I at least like that we've got a new direction, so it's like, all right, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, I just did not like how we got
there.
It's
fair. It's just a little bit better for me.
What do you have at 17?
At 17 is where I have Super Psychic Policeman Chojo. It really just didn't make me, like, laugh at all. I was just kind of like, all right, so he has a curry place now, I guess.
It made me smile.
That's fair.
I like the curry with smile. I have Nues at 17. I didn't think it was good. I just thought there was, like I often think with Nues, there's the skeleton of a shonen manga I went to read in there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's better than the stuff below it. What do you have at 16?
16 is where I put Ultimate Exorcist. They go to a hot springs.
They sure do. And then they team up with the other team.
Yep. And now they're going to ping pong.
Yeah, I don't like Balls of Fury either, Kevin. I have Shinobi Undercover at 16.
Okay.
I mostly just like the dramatic catching of girls. And, like, mm-hmm. I am oddly sympathetic to it. It's like, oh, no. What if she has other friends and I'm not her friend anymore?
Fair. Very fair.
The best Shinobi Undercover story gets number 16. So.
Yeah.
What do you have at 15, Kevin?
15 is where I put Kill Blue. I agree. It was just kind of bland.
Yeah.
So,
That's where I have Ultimate Exorcist, mostly for the karaoke scene. I find, like, the cut there, like the page turn, very funny. Also,
gotcha.
They're like, let's get serious, and they're doing drunken karaoke together.
Yeah,
That chick landed. What do you have at 14?
And that's where I have Astro Royale. Like I said, I appreciate the new direction that we're going of. All right, I need to collect the six piece, you know, I need to collect the Dragon Ball, I mean the Daybreak Ores.
Yeah. The six Daybreak Ores.
I need to collect the seven Dragon Ball, I mean the six Dragon Ball, I mean the six Daybreak, damn it.
God told me. Or my dead dad, or...
Maybe my dead dad
or
is
an
God.
Or evil dream wizard.
God using my dead dad to tell me to, yeah.
I have Super Psychic Policeman shit at 14.
Gotcha.
So, what do you have at 13?
13 is where I put Witch Watch.
Same. It was acceptable.
Yeah, stuff's going on. But like you've mentioned, it's like, because it's not the cast of characters that we've been dealing with, it's just kind of like, it's fine.
Yeah. What do you have at number 12?
12 is where I have Hakutaku. This could be cool and interesting, but this chapter isn't particularly...
Yeah, I liked some of the energy of it, which is why I have it very slightly higher. Also, I was comparing it to Astro Royale, which I think is a mess of a arc transition, and this one is a lot better.
Yeah, that's fair.
I have Hunter x Hunter at 12.
Gotcha.
We talked at length about my problems with Hunter x Hunter this week, and I still enjoyed Hunter x Hunter. So like, when I said, hey, Shonen Jump was good this week, it's because Hunter x Hunter ended up this low.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have at 11?
11 is where I have Mission Yozakura. It's fine. All right, whatever.
It's where I have Hakutaku.
So, gotcha.
Like I said, very slightly higher.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have halfway up at number 10?
That's where I have Undead and Unluck. I kind of feel like Mission Yozakura and Undead and Unluck were pretty close in terms of how I enjoyed them, but I liked Undead and Unluck more because it... Yes, I agree, the moment, like the stakes of you're going to lose all of your love and memories with Andy could have been done better, but I definitely liked her being like, you know, you're going to lose this shit. I don't care. Hit the button.
Yeah, I have it much higher than you, so. Yeah. Like I said, I just like, I guess it wasn't as good as that, though. I have Himiten at 10.
Okay.
I am worried for Himiten, not because I think this chapter was bad, but there are now three romance-ish manga in Shonen Jump, and it already felt like it was struggling for attention. I don't know how true that is. I hope that's just my pessimism talking, because I kind of want all three of them to survive.
Mm-hmm.
But I felt like this chapter was very much empty calories. I enjoyed it. I put it above Hakutaku and Hunter x Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just a lot of the plot not moving forward very deliberately. It's that traditional romantic comedy, we need to stretch this out thing of, oh, there could be advancement, but there's not. We're just teasing you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair. I thought it was really cute, so I really liked it.
What do you have at 9?
9 is where I put Kagurabachi. I don't really have much else to say over what we discussed when we were talking about the chapter.
9's where I have said craft. I find this new character very fun.
Yeah.
Like, I want the 5-person harem we had and we never learned. So
yes.
I really like this additional character. I love how they're a mirror phantom thief. I love how she takes it seriously because how effortlessly he deals with her.
Yes.
It's all very fun.
Yeah. No, it went higher because I really enjoyed said craft this week.
What do you have at 8?
8 is where I have Ichi the Witch.
Same.
I like the turn at the end. And honestly, a bit of the stuff before it, like...
It's my favorite chapter of this arc, easily.
Yeah.
It was a little bit, not much happened, but that was to get to the cliffhanger at the end, which
yeah.
I agree with you is good, so I don't dislike it that much. It just went below a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, I just kind of, I liked the mushroom hunting thing of, you know, he was like, yeah, so like mushroom hunting is super dangerous because like 80% of them you can't eat and, you know, like, oh, this one releases spores that will clog your airways and all this stuff. So he was like, you know, I almost died several times until the guy who taught me how to live in the woods finally got me to realize that I, you know, can't just eat any mushroom. And I like that the other witches, like the other witches are struggling dealing with the mushrooms because they're like, you know, they're not respecting it essentially. And then just that thing at the end, that cliffhanger at the end is just great where it's like,
This arc was boring. Let's introduce something else.
Well, I also thought it was really well done where he went bloodlust and then like it cuts to the witch. The ice witch getting serious and is like, all right, just kill the whole. And the way it looked to me was that the giant ice worm thing had their entire patch of forest in its mouth. So it's like, oh God, she's just going to kill everything. And you're like, oh no, what's Ichi going to do? And then he just like leaves. And you're like, wait, what? Oh.
What do you have at 7?
7 is where I put Akanabanashi. I would also like out of this flashback, but it was good.
I have Mission Yozakura family here. We already talked at length about it. What do you have at number 6?
6 is where I put Hunter x Hunter. I did not know that this was the last chapter of Hunter x Hunter for a while, so I was like, I'm excited for, like, we're talking with the Zodiac now, and, like, this stuff with the first prince is pretty cool, so.
One day, Kevin, maybe.
One day. Definitely next year.
Yep. I have a Kanabanashi here.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number 5?
Five is where I put Sidcraft. Like I said, I really like the new character. I like that they're bonding over romance novels, which is both something that, like, neither of them should be doing, like, in air quotes, should be doing, was really neat. And then I did like the effortless, he found all of my backup plans. He's like, yeah, I just kind of tried everything I could think of. Sorry. And, you know, that whole bit where he's like, don't throw yourself off the roof just because you lost your book.
Yeah, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have Sakimoto Days at 5.
Gotcha.
Like I said, it's a short chapter, but mm-hmm. the fight is good. What do you have at number 4?
Sakimoto Days.
That's where I put Kagurabachi.
Gotcha.
I enjoyed the chapter. I really like where we're going forward with this. Like I said, there's lots of weird Kagurabachi stuff in it.
Fair. Very fair.
What do you have at number 3?
3 is where I put Blue Box. Like I said, I really enjoyed it. It just felt it had a lot more emotional weight than Himaten.
Yeah, for sure. That is also reflected in my gap there.
Mm-hmm. Well, mine is...
smaller.
And opposite.
Oh, yeah.
What do you have at 3?
Undead Unluck.
Gotcha.
Like I said, I just thought it was better than a bunch of stuff. The idea of the chapter is better than the chapter itself, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's fair.
As we get to the top, like I said, I enjoyed Shonen Jump, but nothing really stood out. So.
Fair.
What do you have at number 2? Hey, it's Himaten.
Yes, 2 is where I had Himaten. I just found it super cute, so I really liked it.
Yeah, I also found it cute, but I was really frustrated with any lack of progress at all. So
fair.
I have Blue Box at number 2.
Gotcha.
What do you have at number 1?
It's One Piece.
Despite me complaining about it so much, I still put it at number 1.
Yep. I put it at number 1, just like, hands down, that was my number 1.
Nothing was better than it. As much as I complained about it, and as much as I think those complaints are true, and...
No, that's.
I think people aren't talking about them in part because they're getting shouted down. But the overwhelming response to this chapter is it's one of the great ones. And I don't really agree with that.
I wouldn't agree with that either. I liked this chapter a lot. I do not think this is one of the great chapters. Like this.
No,
is a...
no one's getting Saul and Robin to get met together tattooed on them.
No. Like, this is a good chapter, but this was not a holy shit, that was amazing chapter. Which is, you know, that's just the level of quality for One Piece is like, no, this was a good chapter. Well, yeah, it's number 1, but it wasn't like the holy fuck, that was amazing. You know, I need to get this tattooed on my back, or I want to buy, you know, like, I want to buy an art print of that panel page.
Anything else you want to say about One Piece or Shonen Jump, Kevin?
Nope.
Alrighty. We read Haikyuu Volume 43. 2 more to go, and we'll be back to talk about that after the break. So we're nearing the end of Haikyuu. We have read all of this before,
yes,
with different context. I definitely enjoyed it more with the context of the whole series behind it, but I do think this is one of the weakest arcs in Haikyuu.
Yeah, this is a lot of, hey, this is where these people are, and a couple of them I was like, part of the problem I have with it is I'm bad with a lot of these names, and so I was like, wait, who is that? Because, like, they look different because it's, you know, it's been several years and they were in high school and now they're in college.
And you have to remember the Japanese games of these guys.
Yes.
We barely remember the names of, even the ones we like.
Yeah. So that was a bit of a struggle, but it definitely, like, made more sense when I remembered them. And this is one of the things where it's like, you know, I just get on a wiki and be like, oh, it's that guy? Okay. And, like, that would click in my head.
Definitely the fact that Kageyama is facing Hinata was a bigger deal with the whole series context, and
yes,
the fact that he does get to play with this setter who wanted to play with him in high school.
Yeah.
But you're right. There's like 2 chapters of just, this is who this is, and this is who this is, that is kind of interminable.
Yeah.
And it does a really bad job of striking a balance between realism and character stuff on the 2 professional teams, because there are like way too many people they went to high school with in this game to be realistic, but it still feels like there are too many new characters that I don't care about in this game at the same time. Like, the only one they try to make you care about is the Brazilian guy, because he's from Brazil where Hinata was.
Well,
and
we
there's
also
a bit at the end of this volume where it's like, hey, isn't that Japanese guy who plays in Brazil? And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, I like that. Well, and also we had met this guy before, the Brazilian guy.
Had we met him? I thought we had just like seen him on TV. I knew he was established before.
I don't think Kanata had ever met him.
Yeah.
But I think there was a bit where it was like he was at the tournament, he was at Nationals or whatever.
That could be.
And so Kanata might have run into him maybe or something like that. But he was, like you said, he was also established before, and that was definitely true.
Yeah, but he's the only character who wasn't, didn't play with him at high school, who feels like he matters even a little bit.
Yep. Yeah, and it's definitely, I still really liked it, but I agree with you. It does blur that line of realism of, like, either that volleyball generation, like, I kind of like the thought of,
well,
like,
well, it's
that,
just like the anime thing. They even say, like, oh, they're saying this generation is going to be really strong.
Yep.
I get it. It's just like I said, it fails on both the realism count and the making me care about these characters count,
mm-hmm.
even though there are plenty of characters to care about between the two of them,
yep.
because so many of them are from when they played in high school.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just still so much, this is who this is, this is who this is, this is
yeah.
where they are now, that it's just really slow and plodding.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I will say I did really like the welcome home set, I'll call it, that when Kanata gets the first point of the game.
Yeah, the like him comparing jumping on a court to the sand and how high he can get now.
Yeah.
And then everyone in the stands who doesn't know who Kanata is being like, who the fuck is that? Wait, the pro camp says he's 5'7". What?
Yeah. No, I really like that too, because they were like main guy, they call him the cannon or whatever.
Yeah,
they're like their main hitter is out for this game, and everyone's like, who the hell is this new rookie? And then he gets the first point of the game and everyone's just like, what? Like, it's really good. That whole panel work is great. I also love they have that side-by-side comparison of his jump, which, you know, looks really cool, where you see the old one where his legs are down and then the newer one where they're up and he's like higher, and they're explaining the whole, like, so he's getting to the apex of his jump faster but is also still getting higher and staying in the air longer, making it even worse to try and hit against him.
Yeah.
So, like, that whole thing was great, you know, and I love that bit where it's, he gets the point and it's welcome home.
Yeah. And even the stuff towards the end of this volume where the Brazilian guy and Kageyama are the only one realizing what Kanata is doing in
yep.
terms of making people hit where he wants to.
Yeah. No, I really like that where they were like, you know, he's purposely setting up his own, he's like feinting you to be like, hey, here's the blind spot to make you go there so that, you know, he knows, all right, cool, I'm going to feint this way and then go right to where I've made you.
He has the superpower of that guy from Blue Lock, spatial awareness.
It's a bit closer to precognition, but it's really not. Again, it's more of a, it's like a fighting feint of, I'm going to make you hit me in a certain way so that I can defend against
it. Yes, yes. But it's awareness
yes.
of where I want you to hit and how quickly I have to be there from my fainting position.
Yes.
That is what is actually impressive about that.
Yes.
It's also the thing you can't show in manga.
Yeah.
Comics, I should say, specifically. It's just not a good art form for that. But
yeah, static images don't.
Yeah, like, you can do the Goku, oh, I'm over here and now I'm over here, and make it seem real fast and impressive in anime, which
mm-hmm.
I do like, don't get me wrong,
yep.
but it's more difficult to do stuff like that. Although I shouldn't say impossible, because it's very similar to what they do with the Brazilian player when he does that set and then hits, or he's the first contact and then he hits when he goes up to the net
yep.
with a whole bunch of images there. You can do it that way,
yep.
but that's very difficult to draw and takes a lot of time.
Yes, it is.
Is there anything else you want to say about this? I do like the wrap-up of the arc in Brazil. It like I was afraid, it feels less important than when I read it at first, because it feels like a training arc with not much to train for.
Yeah. It's still nice, though, and I like that we're catching back up. Like, even during the game, we're catching up with Hector and his now fiance are watching the game.
Yeah.
But like, I like the little blurb of, like, it's 3 a.m. over there. So, like, the wife is, I guess, fiance, I don't know, is, like, falling asleep.
Wife, we see them get married.
They do. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Says, I want to see him get married.
That's right. We do see them get married. We see her in the wedding dress. So his wife is, like, falling asleep, and he's like, I heard Kageyama. And he's like, he understands, like, a couple, like, he's watching, because he's watching it in Japanese and
yep.
doesn't speak it. So he's just like, I understood that word.
Yeah, and the same with the Brazilian, who I guess Kageyama learned Portuguese or Spanish, whichever he speaks, and
mm-hmm.
no one else on his team did. And like, I got the word ninja, Japan, Kanata, and beach out of that.
Yes. Well, I do like that the Brazilian guy who clearly speaks Japanese is just like flipped on his head. He's like, oh, and he starts speaking in Portuguese.
Yeah, and Kageyama responds in kind of like, yes, he is very good at volleyball. He is my shonen rival.
Yep.
Who went to the beach for a training arc. He had a beach arc and a training arc at the same time. It was efficient.
Yep.
Anything else you want to say about Haikyuu?
Nope.
All right. Next week, since I was complaining about it so much last week, we are going to read Yona of the Dawn, Volume 3. And that might be our last episode for the year. We'll see how the Shonen Jump turns.
Yeah, because it...
One Piece is on a 2-week break, but I suspect week after next, Shonen Jump is on a break.
Yeah, and like you said, it depends on how... Because there will be a break at some point.
Yeah.
But we don't know exactly when that's going to fall, because the Japanese break is different than the American break.
And look, they'll do it at the same time, just to prove me wrong this time. But
yeah.
Until then, our opening theme is Fighting Against One's Will by Midair Machine. Our closing theme is A Psychic Fistfight by Tom W. Emmerich. Other music on the show is by Spectacular Sound Productions, and our album art is by Kate Wind on DeviantArt. www.lastpodcast.com is our website, where you can check out past episodes, including all of ours on Haikyuu or Yona of the Dawn, since it's been 3 years since we read any of that.
Yep.
As well as my other podcasts, It's a Gundam and Last Time on Video Games. It's a Gundam is starting a series on the 80s and 90s Gundam OVAs that cost $100 an episode, starting with War in the Pocket, which is not good, but does look better than a lot of 2000s animation for a thing animated in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to plug, Kevin?
Nope.
Have a great week, everyone.
Gotta stop.